Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday, and welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on August 30th. Frank Stanfield joined by Scott White here to recap the weekend. We have a whole bunch of waiver ads, maybe some drops. Can you drop Cody Bellinger? I mean, there's only 1 month of the season left, so I don't know what we're still doing. Some prospect notes and more. How you doing, Scotty? How was the weekend?
Did you see how I suddenly moved those books? There's like some library books, some children's library books right here, and I just suddenly moved them, Scott, out of view.
Scott, you did it so subtly, I didn't even notice.
I know. I drew attention to it anyway. So what was the point of doing it subtly? I might as well have been like banging pots and pans around here. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, we could have had moved.
They're out of sight now. Out of sight, out of mind.
True. True that. How's the weekend?
It's fine.
Nothing adventurous?
No.
All right. That's fine. Honestly, I feel like it could have been a better weekend for you, Scott, considering you absolutely nailed it with Keibert Ruiz, the catcher prospect for the Washington Nationals. And we spoke about him on Friday's podcast. He was part of your prospect report article that was on the site. We told everybody about it. Now he is expected to be promoted on Monday. Absolutely crushing it this year at AAA, batting .310, 21 homers, 59 RBI. He's 23% rostered. Where are we thinking he fits into the catcher ranks? Because I think even in some one catcher leagues, you could probably pick him up and start him right away. I know prospects, they struggle, yada, yada, yada. But the catcher position is bad. It's very bad.
It is. And I think now that Keibert Ruiz has developed power, looks like a considerable amount of power, I have a lot of confidence he's going to become a stud at some point. You put the bat on the ball as often as he does, and you can drive it out of the park. And, you know, it's not like the Nationals or the Dodgers. They don't have this great catcher surplus or a tendency to split the job. I think it's inevitable Keibert Ruiz is going to develop into a stud. As far as picking him up and starting him right away, my issue with that is that Dalton Varsho is currently 50% rostered. Travis d'Arnaud is currently 50% rostered. Max Stassi is 48. I don't know that Keibert Ruiz being handed a starting job in the majors for the first time, it's not his major league debut. He made brief appearances for the Dodgers before. But, you know, really being tested at the major league level for the first time, it's especially difficult for a player at that position to make an impact right away, because there are so many things that go into playing catcher. I would bet against that happening for Keibert Ruiz. And we always talk about how catcher's a bad position, but unless it's a two-catcher league, you don't need to go that deep into the position for everybody in your league to have it filled. And so you see this happen a lot, where interesting players are pretty much always available on waivers, even if even if it's just not, even if it's not a good position relative to other positions. So I don't know that K-Bear Ruiz is a must add in a one catcher league. I would say he's not, as a matter of fact, not with those other guys available. Two catcher leagues, sure, take a flyer on K-Bear Ruiz, but otherwise I'd say wait and see for him.
So I told someone on Sunday that I would rather have K-Bear Ruiz than Travis d'Arnaud. Then I realized d'Arnaud has a couple of games in Coors Field this upcoming week as well. So I probably would walk that back. I'm with you. I would rather have Stassi. I'd rather have d'Arnaud. I would rather have, there was another name that you brought up there.
Varsho's the one I want most of all.
Yeah, I think that's pretty close with K-Bear Ruiz, but I could get behind it just because playing time is probably going to be more plentiful for Varsho. He's playing in the outfield, but there's injuries to Wilson Contreras. JT Realmuto is currently banged up a little bit, so I could see in a one-catcher league where you might need someone. Would you take K-Bear Ruiz over Elias Diaz from the Rockies?
No, not with the Rockies playing four games at Coors Field this week and the other three games are against the Rangers. I mean, Elias Diaz is kind of like many Rockies hitters.
Yeah.
You know, you do the home and away thing with him. But for right now, I would say that I'd rather have Elias Diaz.
Ruiz or Eric Haas?
Yeah. Is Haas back yet from the IL?
Yeah, he returned.
It's like he just got back.
Returned this weekend.
I'm going to have to say Haas.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get the playing time, a lot of power. You know, obviously, if K-Bear Ruiz hits the ground running, then we're going to have to rerun these calculations. But I think these other catchers have proven enough at this point that I'm not really looking to upgrade.
All right, a few more names. Zunino?
I'd stick with Zunino.
Omar Narvaez?
I'd stick with Narvaez.
Last one, Carson Kelly.
Now, that might be interesting. Let me see how, because I know Varsho's stealing some starts from Kelly. You could, if you wanted to gamble on the upside of Ruiz, you could do that.
Okay. So it sounds like you're probably going to slot Ruiz somewhere in the 16 to 20 range, which has names like Luis Torrens, Sean Murphy, Yan Gomes, Yadier Molina, and Christian Vasquez for you.
To start out, but you know, we're going to be doing the K-Bear countdown, waiting to see when he does become the stud that I think he'll inevitably be.
We were talking beforehand. Scott's talking to me about K-Bear and Care Bear. I'm just like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Care Bears countdown?
Yeah, I just...
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, I wasn't part of the Care Bear lifestyle.
No, just, I had a little... There was a small window there.
Yeah, I was... you know, I was so big on like anime stuff growing up. Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. I was into all that stuff, so... Didn't really have time for the Care Bears, but enough about that. Let's see, oh my goodness gracious, talk about some other players on the weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, where would you like to start, Scott?
Well, where would I like to? Oh, Patrick Wisdom. That's who we talked about beforehand.
Oh yeah.
Patrick Wisdom is where I'm starting. That guy had a monster weekend for the Cubs. He homered twice on Friday. He homered twice on Saturday. He struck out three times on Sunday, but eight home runs in his last nine games now. Ooh. Patrick Wisdom has. He is heating up again. And you look at his season stats, they're still really impressive. 256 batting average, 25 homers in 254 bats. So better than a 50 homer pace if you project that over a full season, you know? And then an 899 OPS for Patrick Wisdom. I dropped him in several, I shouldn't say several. I dropped him in at least one Roto League after holding on to him for a long time through some lengthy dry spells, thinking, well, it's just hard to find this kind of power on the waiver wire in any sort of Roto League. I finally ended up dropping him in one. And then, of course, he goes off like this. And I look at these season-long numbers he has, and I'm like, why would I ever drop a guy on a 50-homer pace with an 899 OPS? His strikeout rate is through the roof. But a long history of hitting for big power in the minors. And the Cubs are really making good on these sort of career minor leaguers. Finally giving them a shot. Wisdom, Rafael Ortega, Frank Schwindel. they're all putting up numbers. And actually, they're all among my top 10 sleeper hitters for the upcoming week, with the Cubs having the second best hitter matchups. I know Wisdom wasn't on that list when we talked about it Friday, but he is now.
I've got a segment coming up a little bit later on. Would you rather? And Patrick Wisdom, you mentioned lots of power, lots of strikeouts. Reminds me a lot of Miguel Sano, who had five more hits this weekend, including another home run. It was his 23rd. Over his last seven games, he's batting .286 with three homers. He is 55% rostered. Patrick Wisdom is 54% rostered.
And I've talked before how I hate that profile for Miguel Sano, the guy who either strikes out or homers, basically, because this is what always ends up happening. I feel like I give them so much patience and they just do nothing for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then they have a week where they homer like eight times.
Yep.
And it's like, well, I guess I shouldn't have given up on him.
So who would you rather have, Patrick Wisdom or Miguel Sano?
I mean, Miguel Sano is not in my top sleeper hitters for next week, so ooh, I'll say Patrick Wisdom.
All right. Patrick Wisdom over Miguel Sano for Scotty Dubs. For me, oh my goodness gracious, from the weekend, Jesus Luzardo, a.k.a. Wild Thing, his first time wearing glasses with the Miami Marlins, and he goes out and has this awesome start. Six shutout, one hit, one walk, eight strikeouts, 15 swinging strikes on 94 pitches. Seven of those came on the changeup. Eight of them came on the slider. 32% called strike plus swinging strike percentage. That's pretty solid. 29% is right around league average. So he was up over that. He still gave up a good amount of hard contact, but I don't want to overrate one start, Scott, but at the same time, I don't want to underrate it either, because to me, Luzardo is someone that this is going to sound like I'm overvaluing it, but I think he can be a league winner the final month of the season. Like, we've seen him have month-long stretches where he looks very good, and he is a former top pitching prospect. And, you know, I was like half joking about the glasses thing, but maybe it actually made a difference. His first time wearing glasses with the Miami Marlins, and just so happens that he has this awesome start. So he's 36% rostered at home this week against the Philadelphia Phillies. Are you rushing out to go add Jesus Luzardo where available?
Maybe not every single league where he's available, because, you know, it depends on the depth of the league. And it's kind of a long shot. Obviously, he had been horrible this year. This is
awful.
This is his best start of the season. Though he did have three good starts in April, for what it's worth, before breaking his hand in a video game tantrum. But it's worth pointing... Well, first of all, it's worth pointing out, of course, he's saying he's probably going to wear the glasses rest of season, and in fact, for the rest of his career, which makes sense. Secondly, he worked with Sandy Leon for the first time, veteran catcher who's has a good track record with pitchers. And most importantly, he changed up his pitch mix in a pretty significant way. His changeup had been his fourth most used pitch. He threw it 30% of the time in this start and got seven of his swinging strikes on it. In fact, his fastball was only his third most used pitch. He went off-speed heavy. And it seemed like his off-speed pitches, you know, he's somebody in the minors who earned high marks for his secondary arsenal. But, you know, just watching him pitch, too, he just looked so in command. He looked like he really knew what he was doing and was having fun, and was Joey Votto left shaking his head. And it was really impressive to watch. And I think he may have figured some things out in this start. So, you know, maybe he goes back next time and gets blown out again. And then we can say, oh, well, better luck next year. But if you're hurting for pitching and Ranger Suarez isn't out there anymore, and, you know, at this point, I might be picking up Kyle Freeland over Jesus Luzardo too. But otherwise, Luzardo is somebody to target.
Yep. And more on those starting pitchers a little bit later on in the podcast. And you know what really grinds my gears, Scott? I tweeted about Jesus Luzardo on Sunday, and I didn't even give an opinion. I just tweeted out his stat line. I said, whoa there, Jesus Luzardo. And I had a bunch of people responding to me, oh, well, the Reds are awful against left-handed pitching, and oh, you know, every bad pitcher can run into a good start. And I'm just like, I am guilty of this at times too, being negative, but I'm just like, I didn't even say anything about the guy. Like, people were coming up with all these different kind of excuses for why Jesus Luzardo had this good start. I'm just like, let it be, man. Like, he's a former prospect. We want to see these guys succeed. I mean, that's what it's all about. And it was just, it really kind of, it flustered me. It made me very annoyed.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah. What are you going to do? I'm excited for the guy. I'm excited for Luzardo. I don't think he's a must add, but if you have the ability to stash him right now, I wouldn't throw him right back in the lineup. He faces the Phillies this week. Let's see if he can build off of this. But obviously, this was a really, really good start for a former top pitching prospect. So I am very excited about it. And someone else who I'm pretty excited about as well, not to the same level as Jesus Luzardo, doesn't have the same prospect pedigree, but Glenn Otto. I did want to talk about him early on here because he made his debut on Friday, and he's someone who we talked a little bit about last week, and I know that you liked him earlier in the season, and you were watching him very closely in the minors. You actually had him on your Scott White Dynasty League team. But
had is the key tense there.
Yeah, he makes his debut against the Houston Astros of all teams. Goes 5 shutout on Friday, 2 hits, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts, only 9 swinging strikes on 73 pitches, but that's about a 12% swinging strike rate.
And against the Astros.
Yeah, and 8 of those came on the slider. The pitch mix, it's mostly slider, fastball. He mixed in the changeup and curveball a little bit, 8 to 10% each on those other pitches. The slider, I don't like making these lofty comps, and Jose Fernandez is one of a kind. But when I saw the highlights of his start, that's what it reminded me of. It was like this huge sweeping slider across the zone, and it was nasty. The Houston Astros hitters could not touch it. So Glenn Otto, 5% rostered. I don't know if he's going to make another start this week. I've looked around, and it seems like the Rangers rotation is kind of in flux. They have some people on the COVID IL right now. So,
well, they didn't send him right back down to the minors. Yeah. So I take that as a good sign. They're planning on him starting again.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So what are you doing with this, Scott? Are you looking to add Otto anywhere? Scout team for now? What do you think?
Well, I think where possible, and I would prioritize Jesus Luzardo over him, but if you got to go even deeper than that, I don't think it's a bad idea to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-GLENN-OTTO because of the strikeout potential he showed in the minors. It was 12.6 K per nine. And really that breaking ball, that slider was a new addition to his arsenal this year. He had a lot of injury problems in the past, hadn't really fleshed out his arsenal yet. So a big breakthrough in the minors this year. 12.6 K per nine in the minors, as I said. It was lower once he got to AAA, and especially in the Rangers organization. And that's why I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be actively rooting against Glenn Otto from now on because I was sick to see this performance after dropping him in the 2014 Dynasty League. And he got scooped up right away by RJ White, who is my boss, I guess you would say. And
that's messed up, Scott. That's messed up.
It doesn't feel good. No. The reason I did was because, okay, the strikeout rates were dropping when he got to the higher level. And obviously there was a roster crunch. So it's like, maybe I was a little too high on this guy. And maybe we're a little too high on this guy now. Obviously, he needs to prove it again. But this is about as strong a debut as you could ask for a pitcher with Glenn Otto's history and what he showed in the minors this year.
All right, so deeper leagues, I think you can add him. I play in a 15-team 5x5 roto league where he was added for $3 out of a $1,000 budget. So that is obviously a very small amount. So any deep league like that, or throw him on the scout team in shallower leagues for now. But Glenn Otto, definitely a name to pay attention to. Before we hit the news and notes, the 2021 Fantasy Football Today Draftathon supporting St. Jude is this Wednesday, September 1st. Just as fantasy draft season is getting underway, tune in to the 6-hour stream for nonstop fantasy advice, 6 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on Wednesday. The FFT experts will be joined by 30 industry guests to get you prepared for your fantasy drafts while raising money for St. Jude. You can watch the entire stream on the Fantasy Football Today YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. You will see me show up at some point throughout that stream as well. I think later on, 8:45, double duty. You know, I'll be prepping for the baseball podcast. I'll be on the draft-a-thon as well. And it's for an awesome cause again for St. Jude. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're prepping for fantasy football, you have some time Wednesday night, be sure to come hang out with the squad. News and notes. Shohei Ohtani was hit by a pitch on his right hand slash wrist area on Saturday. X-rays came back negative. We can breathe a sigh of relief. And he is scheduled to start, I believe it is Tuesday against the Yankees. So that they haven't said anything about that start yet. So I assume he's okay, considering he was hit on his right hand and obviously he pitches with his right hand. Mike Trout was able to aggressively run the bases at Angels Stadium on Friday. He has not appeared in a game since May 17th, obviously with this calf injury, and he kind of re-aggravated it back in July too. So I don't know how much more we're going to see of Mike Trout this season, but it sounds like he's still trying to make a comeback. Chris Sale has been pushed back to Wednesday this week, so he will not have a two-start week as previously expected. John Gray exited Saturday's start against the Dodgers with right forearm tightness. Manager Bud Black indicated the injury was up towards Gray's elbow, though it wasn't the UCL. He's going to play catch on Monday to see how his arm reacts. Byron Buxton was activated this weekend, and he went a cool 0-for-11. Just kidding. That was kind of mean. But he actually did do that. You could get Byron Buxton back in your lineups. I think he's going to be fine. Kenta Maeda is scheduled for elbow surgery this upcoming week and will miss the remainder of the season. The extent of the surgery is yet to be revealed. But Tommy John is an option for Maeda and look, would just absolutely crush his keeper dynasty value. So we'll see. But either way, this sounds pretty serious for Kenta Maeda. Mike Moustakas was removed from Saturday's game with hip tightness. He's batting 173 since returning from the IL. Scott, can we drop Mike Moustakas?
I would be fine with that.
Would you be okay dropping him for someone like Patrick Wisdom or Miguel Sano?
Yeah, either one of those would be fine.
Okay, yeah. Moustakas is down to 61% rostered, so I think a lot of people are already making that move. Eddie Rosario made his Braves debut this weekend. He went 2-for-4 with his 10th stolen base. On Sunday, he's 64% rostered. It's kind of weird, though. He was activated on Friday. He didn't start until Sunday, so I don't know if they're just easing him in. They obviously have a lot of names that can play in the outfield for the Atlanta Braves right now, so 64%, he might be out there in some three outfielder leagues. Would you be looking to add Eddie Rosario if he's available there?
No, my guess is he's primarily going to play a bench role.
Okay.
I think he's fourth in the pecking order there. Adam Duvall got the day off on Sunday, and that's what got Rosario in the lineup. But Duvall had started every single game since coming over to the Braves at the trade deadline. And obviously they have a good history with him from last year. He's probably their best outfield defender at this point. And Jorge Soler has certainly become a fixture, batting second ahead of Freddie Freeman. He had another home run. Didn't he have a home run Sunday, I believe? Soler's been great since coming over.
Yeah, he has.
So those two are fixtures. So, you know, I don't expect to see Eddie Rosario start that much.
Yeah, Soler hit another home run on Sunday. He had six hits with two homers this week, and he's been really good for the Braves since he came over. Pablo Lopez did not make his scheduled rehab start Thursday as the Marlins elected to slow down his progression. Gleyber Torres, it's the year of the what do we call it, Scott? The year of the setback.
The year of the setback. This apparently wasn't a setback. They just decided,
They're not playing for anything, and Trevor Rogers is coming back this week, so I think that's...
What's the hurry? And by the way, we didn't mention this with Lizardo, but remember I kept saying I'm worried Eduardo Cabrera is going to get sent back down.
Edward.
Gosh, I keep doing that. Sorry, Edward. Edward Cabrera is going to get sent back down when Trevor Rogers comes back. Unless they send down Jesus Luzardo. I don't think they're sending down Jesus Luzardo now.
That's a good point. But I mean, I guess there's a chance they just go six-man rotation for now.
There's a chance.
Zach Thompson has slowed down too. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but
true.
I guess it depends on what Edward Cabrera does in his first start this week as well. Gleyber Torres started a rehab assignment on Saturday, and it was announced that he will return Friday this week. So don't get him back in your lineups yet. It's not like he was great anyway, but maybe for the following week. I don't know what they're going to do because this Andrew Velasquez kid has been playing really, really great for the Yankees. He's been a spark plug for them. He could steal bases. He gives them an added element. So Gleyber Torres is still young enough. I don't think they're just going to give up on him, but it's a good problem to have for the Yankees. Kyle Lewis was seen running the bases at full speed and sliding in the outfield Sunday. Sliding in the outfield? That's interesting. All right. A sign that he could soon begin a minor league rehab assignment. He had surgery on
his... I was sitting around my living room pretending to throw a football, and I hurt my shoulder doing that. It's a true story.
Well, take it easy, Scott. We can't lose you, too. It's the year of the setback.
I'm preparing for my fantasy football draft, and so that makes me want to go around my living room here pretending to throw a football. I don't know. It's just... I haven't outgrown that yet.
Well, make sure you check out the draft-a-thon this Wednesday, Scott. Kyle Lewis, by the way, he had surgery on his right knee back in June. It looks like he could begin a rehab assignment soon. He's 51% rostered. Would you look to add stash Kyle Lewis anywhere right now?
Yeah, 5 outfielder leagues.
All right. Yeah, sure. I think that makes sense too. Tony Gonsolin will throw a simulated game on Monday. He's on the IL with a shoulder injury. Tuki Toussaint pitched in relief Sunday with Ian Anderson back. Now, they could go to a 6-man rotation, but they haven't revealed that yet. Scott, should we drop Tuki Toussaint? There's some starting pitchers emerging here. Would you drop him for someone like Jesus Luzardo?
I probably would want to see how it plays out first. I'm not so sold on Luzardo that I'd be ready to do that.
Okay.
However, I would drop Tuki Toussaint for Ranger Suarez if you hadn't made that move yet. Suarez is still like 50% available.
Yep, more on him in a little bit. Tuki Toussaint is currently 62% rostered on CBS. Chaz McCormick is set to begin a rehab assignment this week. And do you think he'll take playing time away from Jake Myers, who continues to hit well?
Yeah, it's possible. Myers has hit well enough that I could see it going. He's hit well enough that I could see him keeping the job, but he hasn't hit so well that I think he's got it locked up already.
The Pirates released Gregory Polanco. Truly the end of an era. Yoshi Tsutsugo started in right field Sunday and has been pretty hot since joining the Pirates. He is 9-for-27 with 5 home runs in 13 games. He is 2% rostered. And I saw Yoshi Tsutsugo added in a few of my deeper roto leagues. So he's playing. He has first, third, and outfield eligibility. A little bit of pop. So deeper leagues only. Yoshi Tsutsugo is the name there. Noah Syndergaard tested positive for COVID, so he could not make his scheduled rehab appearance on Sunday. Didi Gregorius went on the paternity list, which means he'll miss at least 3 days. These players went to the IL this weekend. Enrique Hernandez tested positive for COVID. It's obviously unfortunate for many reasons, but he was crushing it. So I hope he gets well, comes back, and kind of picks up where he left off. Mitch Garver went to the IL with a lower back strain. That could mean more playing time now for Ryan Jeffers, who has some prospect-y status.
He'd been getting the majority of the playing time anyway, though I do wonder how long. It's not clear exactly when Garver suffered this injury and if he was trying to avoid going on the IL or not.
Yep. Jake Fraley went to the IL with right shoulder inflammation. Scott, start or sit these players this week who are currently questionable. Let's see what happens. George Springer said he expects to return from the IL Monday. Would you start him?
I would plan to start him, maybe not in shallower 3 outfielder leagues, but in most leagues, plan to start Springer.
JT Realmuto exited Sunday with a sore left ankle. Would you start him?
Well, we mentioned there are some pretty interesting catchers on the waiver wire. If you can afford to roster a second one, I think that would be the safer move.
Yeah. Tim Anderson was out of the lineup Sunday due to this recurring leg soreness. He recently missed. There was like a 4 or 5 game stretch where he missed and then he returned. Looked awesome, but he was out again Sunday. Would you start him?
I think I would start him. It's pretty yucky on the waiver wire, that position.
Yep. Chris Bryant missed the last 2 games with right side tightness. What do you think?
Yeah, that's tricky.
Especially Chris Bryant too, who's just, it feels like he's always dealing with something.
I would try to replace him. I would try not to start him.
Yeah, and look, there's Patrick Wisdom, there's Miguel Sano, so there are some third basemen. There, you know, are a few other outfielders available as well. I wrote here that Anthony DeSclafani left Sunday with an apparent injury. That was the original diagnosis, but it turns out this was just planned, so they wanted to piggyback Sammy Long with Anthony DeSclafani. It was his first start back, so DeSclafani is fine. Trevor Rogers completed his second rehab start, got up to 71 pitches. He could return this week against the Philadelphia Phillies. Would you start him?
No, I'd rather give him a start, especially since it seemed, you know, these teams are going particularly easy on pitchers fresh off the IL.
Cole Irvin is dealing with a hip injury, and he threw a bullpen session on Saturday. He remains on track to make his next scheduled start Tuesday against the Tigers. It's a pretty good matchup. Would you start Cole Irvin?
I'd try not to. It's, you know, it's like a SPARP in a points league.
Yep.
Because he's in line for two starts, but of course he could have a flare up with his hip again and not end up making that second start. So you have to factor that in. In the one points league where I have him, I am not planning to start him, but I at least thought about it.
Chris Paddock will make his return on Monday, which sets him up for two starts against the D-backs and the Astros. So one good one, one bad one.
No, I'm not going
to
do that.
It's been a real rough season for Chris Paddock. Last one here, Luis Patino was pushed back to Monday, which is, it's very frustrating when stuff like this happens because I started him in one of my lineups in a deeper roto league and he just didn't pitch at all this week. He was supposed to pitch this weekend and they just kept pushing him back. Chris Archer came back. So Patino is in line for the Red Sox and the Twins this week.
Well, he's another relief pitcher eligible starting pitcher. So points leaguers especially, I think, would be motivated to use him for the two starts. I'm not terribly motivated to use him otherwise. It's not like he's been consistently good this year.
Some quick prospect updates. Rangers 18-year-old shortstop prospect Maximo Acosta had thoracic outlet surgery, and I know that there's a lot of excitement around Acosta in the Dynasty community. He's still a ways away. He's only 18 years old, so I haven't really heard of shortstops having thoracic outlet, but I guess we'll see.
I haven't done much research on that, no.
Yeah, he's still young enough where hopefully his body could bounce back, but we'll see. Padres 20-year-old outfield prospect Robert Hassel has been promoted to high A, and he was slashing .323, .415, .482 with 7 homers and 31 steals over 92 games at A ball. He was their first round pick last year in the 2020 draft, and the Reds optioned Jose Barrero back to AAA and assigned him to their taxi squad. So I think there's a very bright future for Jose Barrero, but I don't think it's going to happen this season. Jared Kelenic hit his 7th home run on Sunday, and I thought he was having a solid August, Scott. And then I look into it, I'm like, .213 batting average, 4 homers, .708 OPS. It's better than where he's been, but it's still not a good August. Ground balls have been a huge issue for Jared Kelenic. So would you drop him in redraft?
He got dropped in that same roto league where I dropped Wisdom, which is a 12-team roto league, 360 players rostered, not counting IL spots. Mm-hmm. Pretty deep league. In fact, I then put in a claim for Kelenic. Wisdom may have been who I dropped.
Oh.
If I could do that over again, I'd rather have Wisdom still. But my team's embarrassing in that league. I remember, I think I said a couple times this offseason and maybe during draft prep season that I don't recall ever finishing last in a fantasy baseball league. And fortunately, I'm only second to last in that league. So, yeah, that's right. So the thing, what keeps happening in that league, though, is I keep dropping players and people pick them up right away. So, like, how is my second to last place team have all these desirable players? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, so you're dropping the players while they're stinking, and then people pick them up, and then they get going on everyone else's team except yours.
Exactly.
So this is the, are you referring to the Memorial Magazine League?
Yeah, the auction, or the salary cap draft we did actually as a podcast. We did it live on here.
Well, I will just say, Adam Azer, if you're listening, I know you're not listening, but he was making fun of me because he said this was the worst roto team of all time, because I think through the first month or two, I was in last place. I am now in 5th place and I am ahead.
I am ahead
of you, Adam Azer. So take that. I had Luis Castillo as my ace, man. I just needed him to come around. A few of the prospect updates here. Jesus, do you want to drop Kelenic? I don't know if you gave an answer technically.
I have no issues with you dropping Kelenic. If you want to hold on to him in case he turns things around, as it seems like Wander Franco has, that's fine too. But like, I don't think that's a high priority at this point.
All right. Jesus Sanchez hit 2 monster homers this weekend, 443 feet and 415. The raw power is there. Just needs to develop some consistency. I'm pretty excited about Jesus Sanchez. Matt Manning, finally had an okay start because we needed something. Six innings, one run, five strikeouts. His velocity was up across the board. Fastball velo, 94.7 miles per hour. That was up from his season average. Slider velocity as well was up. I don't think you need to add Matt Manning, but again, we needed to see something. And that was a pretty good something. And last but not least, you mentioned his name, Wander Franco. Currently has a 29-game on base streak. Again, he is 20 years old. He's going to be good. He's going to be a good one. Let's take a quick break. When we return, talk about a few bullpens earlier than we normally do. We'll do that here, Fantasy Baseball Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
So there's a lot going on in these bullpens, Scott. Let's get after it. After an 11.42 ERA in August, the Rockies have removed Daniel Bard from the closer's role. If you started him in a CBS Points League this week, like I did in the Scott White Dynasty League, he gave you minus 21.5 fantasy points. That is ridiculous. Oh. I can't tell you the last time I saw something that bad, but sheesh, man. Negative 21.5. Anyway, Carlos Estevez picked up the save on Friday and is only 4% rostered. He went for $26 out of 1,000 in my 15-team roto. I'm going to throw a few situations at you, Scott, and then you rank these players. Sergio Romo got the save Saturday for the A's. Andrew Chafin got the save on Sunday. Lou Trevino apparently is being given a break from the closer's role after taking three straight losses last week. That comes according to manager Bob Melvin. Adam Ottavino had saves both on Friday and Saturday for the Red Sox. He is 19% rostered. Alex Reyes blew another save on Sunday, and after the game, manager Mike Schilt said the team will evaluate the right-hander's role moving forward. Giovanni Gallegos is 32% rostered. So, Scott, how would you rank these saves options, potential saves options? Carlos Estevez, Adam Ottavino, Giovanni Gallegos, and the A's relievers.
Are we including Trevino among the A's relievers?
No.
No.
Let's go with Sergio Romo and Andrew Chafin.
Okay, I'm going to go Adam Ottavino number one, followed by Giovanni Gallegos. That's kind of all I care about. Maybe Carlos Estevez third. I don't think the A's are making a change, really. I expect to see Trevino back in that role. I mean, I don't think any of them are making a long-term change for what it's worth. This is purely speculative, but Ottavino, he's gotten three saves, I think, since they pulled Matt Barnes from that role. So he's becoming the most ingrained at this point.
Yep, I think that is definitely fair. We'll see what happens with the Cardinals too, because that's a pretty interesting one. Gallegos is having a really good season, another really good season. Last note here on bullpens, James Karinchak was demoted to AAA over the weekend. He had a 9.75 ERA over his previous 15 appearances. He's still 61% rostered. Can we drop James Karinchak?
Yes, everywhere? Yes. And it's good that you can drop him. And look, Emmanuel Class A, clearly the closer now, so it's good to get that clarity as well. But like James Karinchak, the struggles are wholesale here. It's not just that he's given up a bunch of runs. First half of this season, 41 appearances, 15.6 K per nine. Amazing. Second half, 18 appearances, 5.4 K per nine. 15.6 to 5.4. And I'm sure if you looked at strikeout percentage, the disparity would be even greater because obviously he's given up more base runners during that stretch where it's 5.6 K per nine. So he's just lost it. He's just lost it. And I don't know how much that has to do with the foreign substances, or if it's just Because it doesn't look like in June he had big strikeout problems.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to check right now. So he still averaged 13.1 K per nine, a 33% strikeout rate in the month of June. So I'm not exactly sure. The walks went way up in that month, so maybe that contributed. But yeah, yeah. There was a video circulating earlier in the season of James Karinchak with some kind of, I don't know, his hand sticking to his glove or his hat or something like that. So, I mean, let's get back to the hitters. Let's rank these hitters in shallower leagues. CJ Cron hit 3 home runs on the road this past week. I know that he is a top of your sleeper hitters this week. Jorge Soler, we mentioned, been really good for the Braves since coming over. He's batting .283, 7 homers in 25 games with Atlanta, 75% rostered. And then Tyler Naquin, he hit another homer on Friday, and in the month of August, batting .400, 6 homers, 69% rostered. How would you rank these three, Scott? CJ Cron, Soler, Naquin.
You just did.
Sweet. I assume you're not shying away from CJ Cron. He's having a really good year overall. I mean, not a lot of consistency because there are big splits numbers, but
yeah, dramatic difference home and away, which is why it was nice that he hit 3 home runs on the road this past week. I'd actually hoped he would struggle in the road and get dropped in some leagues so we can pick him up again. But that didn't happen. You're probably just going to have to hold on to him from now on and play the splits.
Scott, yeah. You're very menacing as a fantasy baseball player, I just realized. You're rooting against Glenn Otto because he got picked up by someone else. You're hoping that CJ Cron is awful on the road so he gets dropped and you can pick him up.
It's all about me, Frank. It's all about me and my fantasy teams.
I never saw the side of you.
Well, you haven't been looking hard enough.
CJ Cron on the season has a 914 OPS overall, so that is just fantastic. Would you rather? We already did this for Patrick Wisdom and Miguel Sano. Let's do a few more. Nicky Lopez or Nicky Solak? Nicky Lopez now has 11 hits in 7. Nick Solak, rather, has 11 hits in 7 games since returning. 1 homer, 1 steal. He's 27% rostered. Nicky Lopez had 3 straight 3-hit games over the weekend. He is now batting .392. Both are under 40% rostered. Who would you rather have, Scott?
I do think Solak has more upside, but I just think Nicky Lopez is going to be more useful. It's going to help in batting average, is going to help in stolen bases, and possibly a major way in stolen bases, though, you know, he didn't have a single stolen base in either of those 3-hit games. That's how it goes with stolen bases sometimes. Another frustrating profile because it's not so good that you're just going to automatically leave it in your lineup, but when are you going to predict when the steals are going to come, right?
Yep. Would you rather Ian Happ or Joey Wendell? And they are very opposite players. Ian Happ hit another homer on Friday, and in August, he's batting .256, 6 homers, 1 steal, 35% roster. Joey Wendell had a double dong on Sunday, including a grand slam. He had 6 RBI, but he has sat out 3 of the Rays' last 8 games. He's still 56% rostered. So who would you rather have, Scott?
I would rather have, just because of the playing time disparity, Ian Happ, but it helps that Ian Happ has been hot the last couple weeks, and he's another Cub who's in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this upcoming week. Good week to start your Cubs.
Want to quickly mention these hitters who either had a big weekend or are having a really big August. Salvador Perez has homered in 5 straight games. He now has 12 homers in August and 38 overall, which is most all-time by an American League catcher. So it's a pretty awesome feat for Salvador Perez, who also had just over 50 fantasy points in CBS this week. So if you played in a points league against Salvador Perez, I'm sorry. Yasmani Grandal, it was a big weekend for catchers. He returned on Friday. He had 4 hits in that game, a double dong, 8 RBI on Friday. And then he went 2-for-4 with another homer on Sunday. Yasmani Grandal is 87% rostered. Might be out there in some shallower 8-team, 10-team, whatever it is. Get Yasmani Grandal on your team if you can. Big August for both Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Judge hitting .347 with 8 homers. Stanton batting .310 with 8 homers. Adolis Garcia heating back up. 7 hits this weekend, including 2 home runs. Tommy Edman in August. I mean, I gave him the kiss of death, right? It's Drop Tommy Edman. He's, you know, nothing going on at the start of August. And now 311 batting average, three homers, three steals. It's been a really impressive month for Tommy Edman. Rafael Devers hit a double dong on Sunday. He's now up to 32 homers and 96 RBI with a whole month left to play. Jose Ramirez, five hits, two homers this weekend. He's having a massive August, 286 batting average, nine homers, eight steals. Josh Bell had a double dong on Sunday. Luis Robert also had a double dong. His season-long strikeout rate is down to 23.3%. Scott, I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Can we drop Cody Bellinger, who hit 188 with a 602 OPS in August? He is still 97% rostered. There was a very short stretch there in the beginning of August where I think he had, whatever it was, three homers and three games, maybe four homers and three games, something like that. But outside of that, he's still been awful. 97% rostered.
Yeah, I would say what I said for Jared Kelnick. I don't think there's a problem with you continuing to stash him in the hopes he turns things around, because we know the upside is significant, but it's no kind of priority at this point. And if you want to free up the roster spot, you know, by now I probably would have in leagues where I had Bellinger. By the way, I wanted to point out for Salvador Perez, more than 50 fantasy points this week. Do you know how hard that is to do for a catcher? I'm not sure I've ever seen it done before.
I said that, Scott.
Oh, you did?
You weren't listening. You bad boy.
Truly historic season here for Salvador Perez, because you know how the most home runs hit, you said he's already hit the most for an AL catcher, right?
Yes.
The most home runs hit by a primarily a catcher is 45 by Johnny Bench. The most home runs hit by somebody who was actually playing the catcher position when he hit the home runs was 42 by Javi Lopez in 2003. Javi Lopez hit 43 that year, but one came as a DH, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think Perez has played DH at all. Some of his home runs have become a DH.
Yeah, they have.
I'm sure. So I'll have to, I don't have exactly how many, but you know, the bottom line is he's seven away from Johnny Bench right now. So it's that's regardless of whether he was playing catcher or not, that record. So he could certainly challenge that.
I have a whole bunch of pitcher questions and just about 15 minutes left. So let's run through all of them here, okay. Scott. Waiver wire starting pitchers. And let's go with three favorite from this group. Ranger Suarez, I assume he'll be up there. 5 1/3, one run, five strikeouts on Sunday against the Diamondbacks.
Those pesky Diamondbacks who bit him last time.
Yeah, he's 51% rostered. He's at Miami later this week. Tyler McGill up against the Nationals. 5 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. He only gave up 1 hit. He's 64% rostered at Washington again this week. Matthew Boyd made his return on Sunday. I know you don't like Matthew Boyd, but 11 swinging strikes on 71 pitches. He looked pretty good against the Toronto Blue Jays. 4 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. He is 39% rostered. Daniel Lynch wasn't great against the Mariners. 4 2/3, 1 run, 3 walks, too many. But he had 16 swinging strikes on 104 pitches, and he is 50% rostered. Last name I'll throw out here, Carlos Hernandez. He pitched in relief Friday. He was at the Mariners, but 5 2/3, only 1 hit, 1 unearned run, 6 strikeouts to 0 walks. I like what I've seen from Hernandez. He had 19 swinging strikes in that relief appearance. So between Hernandez, Lynch, Matthew Boyd, Tyler McGill, Ranger Suarez, Scott, give me your three favorite.
My three favorite would be Ranger Suarez with his incredible ground ball rate and still about a 150 ERA. Tyler McGill, both of those guys I have on my 10 sleeper pitchers for this week, by the way. And Daniel Lynch, third, who also had a big, you know, it wasn't a great start, but he had a big swinging strike total. And I think he threw his slider like 50% of the time, which was something we hadn't seen from him before. Maybe that'll be a good plan for him going forward. Yeah, Carlos Hernandez is becoming more interesting because the last two starts, he's actually missed bats, which is not something he's shown the ability to do much in his career. For as hard as he throws, in major or minor leagues, hasn't shown much bat missing ability, but it combined 33 swinging strikes in his last two appearances. One, of course, was the long relief appearance. So I'm keeping an eye on Carlos Hernandez at this point. It's not a bad idea to make a play for him, but he would be fourth on this list for me.
Give me your three favorite streamers for this upcoming week from this current group. Rich Hill this weekend pitched 5 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. He is up against the Marlins this week. Jake Odorizzi at the Rangers on Friday. I think it was Friday. 5 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. And he is at the Mariners this week. Kyle Freeland was at the Dodgers. Awesome start. 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts to 0 walks. And his last 12 starts for Kyle Freeland, he has a 2.57 ERA. He is at the Texas Rangers this week. Only 32% rostered. Tyler Anderson in 6 starts with the Mariners. He's got a 3.18 ERA. And at the Diamondbacks this week, last name here, Alec Mills. He was at the White Sox this weekend. 8 1/3 shutout, 3 strikeouts. He is going up against the Pirates. So Rich Hill against the Marlins, Odorizzi at the Mariners, Kyle Freeland at the Rangers, Tyler Anderson at the Diamondbacks, and Alec Mills versus the Pirates. Who are your two or three favorites?
I think at this point, Kyle Freeland's my favorite. And I don't feel good about saying that, but it's been 12 starts now. This is a stretch much like the one Austin Gomber had, much like the one Herman Marquez had. I know Herman Marquez has a bit more of a history, but you know, we gave those guys the benefit of the doubt, and for a while there, it paid off. So I think maybe we should do that for Freeland. I do worry that he's not putting enough balls on the ground, particularly for that environment. But since he started going breaking ball heavy, did you give the numbers from his last 12 starts?
I gave only the ERA, 2.57.
2.57 ERA, 106 whip, about a K per.
Yeah.
And just really pounding the strike zone with his slider and curveball. And it's really transformed him. So I will go Freeland number one here. Two would probably be Tyler Anderson, but it's a distant number two.
Okay.
And I wouldn't pick a third. I don't think the rest are good.
All right. Some deeper waiver options at starting pitcher. Quick mention on these names. Logan Allen made his return for Cleveland, and he pitched 6 innings of 1-run ball with 8 strikeouts against the Red Sox. Ronaldo Lopez, 5 innings of relief. This is probably more so just a roto play, but because now he's in the bullpen, but 5 perfect innings with 7 strikeouts in relief on Friday. Chris Archer was at the Orioles on Sunday. 4 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts. He had 14 swinging strikes on 59 pitches. I know the Orioles are bad, but I mean, that's a really good ratio, 14 on 59. Taylor Hearn for the Rangers, 6 2/3 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts against the Astros. Antonio Senzatella, I know it's Antonio Senzatella, but 7 shutout against the with 5 strikeouts against the Dodgers. Over his last 4 starts, he has a 2.08 ERA. So this is for deeper leagues, Scott. Logan Allen, Ronaldo Lopez, Archer, Taylor Hearn, Antonio Senzatella. Anything?
I probably Ronaldo Lopez is the most interesting, even though he doesn't have a rotation spot. So that probably tells you everything you need to know. I'm keeping my eye on Chris Archer. He's got a build up, obviously, but the Rays may be getting him right. It remains to be seen. And I'm not going to be totally dismiss Antonio Senzatella. I don't want to keep recommending Rockies pitchers because generally that's a losing strategy, but high ground ball rate, low walk rate, 4 straight quality starts. Granted, 3 of them were on the road, but still, I think for deep leagues, particularly points leagues, he's usable.
Yeah, and you don't want to use him this week. He's at home in Coors Field against the Atlanta Braves, so keep that in mind. He has pitched much better, but it's a really rough matchup this week for Antonio Senzatella. Starter sit these starting pitchers who might be going through something right now, but let's start with Kevin Gausman, who threw 6 innings of 2-run ball against the Braves. He only had 2 strikeouts. He gave up 10 hard hit balls in this start, and his fastball spin rate was down about 137 RPM. Would you start him at home against the Brewers this week?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would, but I'm a little concerned about Gausman.
Yeah, there's something going on with him right now. I mean, it was still an okay start, but I don't know. Something's going on. Sean Manaea, in 10 starts since the beginning of July, he has a 5.94 ERA, but It comes with a 3.41 xFIP. So he's had some bad luck. The swinging strikes are still there. He's getting ground balls. Is giving up a lot of hard contact. Starters sit Sean Manaea this week at the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, the matchup helps. And he's been getting... Home runs have been killing him. He gave up 8 home runs in 5 August starts at a 9.90 ERA for the month.
It's rough.
That's bad. But apart from that, you know, the normal measures of what makes a pitcher good or not, he hasn't changed that much.
Cal Quantrill, over his last 10 starts, has a 1.77 ERA and looked pretty good against the Red Sox this weekend. 7 innings of 2-run ball. He is at the Red Sox again this week. Would you start Cal Quantrill there?
I don't think I would. But whether or not to pick him up, that question's kind of already been answered because he's 79% rostered now.
Yep.
He's been a tough one to figure out, Cal Quantrill, but he has been 2 earned runs or fewer in 8 of his last 9 starts. His overall ERA is down to 2.93 now.
Wow.
So I don't really trust it. I think you could probably do better than to start him in a 1-start week against the Red Sox, but it's your call, obviously.
All right. Maybe as a SPARP, I know he has RP eligibility in points leagues. John Means, he was okay against the Tampa Bay Rays. 6 1/3, 2 runs. He had 5 strikeouts. However, he is at the New York Yankees this week. Would you start or sit John Means?
Yeah, bad place for a fly ball pitcher, bad lineup for a fly ball pitcher. So yep. I would sit him. But 2 quality starts in a row. It's nice to see.
Yeah, let's see where it goes. Ian Anderson made his return against the Giants. 5 2/3 shutout. However, he had 0 strikeouts and 2 walks. The walks, not bad there for Ian Anderson. He's at the Rockies this week, so I'm guessing we want to sit him, but it was an okay return.
It was. Yeah, he's been a weird one to figure out, too, because his strikeout rate is much lower. His swinging strike rate is almost exactly the same. And he's got a great ground ball rate, too. So, you know, he might be another Max Fried-like pitcher when you add it all up. And I think we were hoping he would be more of a like true ace from what we saw of him as a rookie last year. And you know, maybe he still will be. But right now, I'm thinking his upside is more like that of a number 3 in fantasy, kind of like Max Fried.
All right, last one here. Kyle Hendricks got bombed by the White Sox on Sunday. 4 2/3, 7 hits, 8 earned runs. He gave up 3 homers in that start. And over his last 7 starts, he has a 6.92 ERA. Starter sit against the Pirates this week. He has a 6 ERA on the dot in 3 starts against the Pirates this season.
I would still start him because we've seen him have these blow-ups so many times this year. I mean, he had one just, 3 starts ago? And then he bounces back with a quality start like nothing ever happened. And super frustrating. But I think if you sit him after the bad start every time, you're just compounding the problem, particularly because if it's a good matchup. Even going against the Astros, you know, it might be a different story. But against the Pirates, I'll run Hendricks out there again.
Let's run through some studs from the weekend, some stud starting pitchers. On Friday, Aaron Nola, 5 1/3, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. Not really a studly performance. Actually, he probably should have been in starter sit. Would you start him at the Washington Nationals this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wade Miley at the Miami Marlins, 7 shutout with 5 strikeouts. Joe Musgrove, 3-hit shutout against the Angels. He had 9 strikeouts, 21 swinging strikes on 111 pitches. He has a quality start in 6 of his last 7. Velocity was way up for Musgrove in that start, so really great to see. And then Gerrit Cole at the Oakland A's on Friday, 6 shutout with 9 strikeouts. He had 17 swinging strikes on 104 pitches. Anything you'd like to add, Scott, on Miley, Musgrove, Cole?
Oh, just that Musgrove's finishing the year really strong here. 6 plus innings in 6 of 7. When remembered, there was a stretch there when he was never going 6 innings. And it's like, do we even start this guy anymore? He's back to looking like an ace in fantasy. And I would plan to keep him in your lineup regardless of matchups rest of season at this point.
Saturday studs, Frankie Montas. We have talked about Montas a lot, but even with that, he's not getting the recognition that he deserves. I've got to move him inside my top 30 starting pitchers. The guy has been amazing. His last nine starts, 2.06 ERA, a 26.5% K minus walk percentage, which is tied for first among all qualified starting pitchers during this stretch with Max Scherzer. So for the past 2 months, Frankie Montas has been almost as good as Max Scherzer. He has the highest swinging strike rate during that span. He's been awesome. Kyle Gibson, 6 shutout on Saturday. Alec Manoa, 6 1/3, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. Sandy Alcantara, 7 innings, 1 run, 12 strikeouts. Sorry, Scott, it's very late in the podcast. You were going to make him your oh my goodness, but he had 29 swinging strikes. Sandy Alcantara did. Adam Wainwright at the Pirates. I feel like every one of his starts is at the Pirates. 7 shutout with 5 strikeouts. He's been great. Framber Valdez, 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. And Logan Webb at the Braves, 7 shutout with 6 strikeouts. There are a lot of names here, but they were all awesome on Saturday.
Yeah, I almost made Logan Webb my goodness gracious, because he now has 10. He now has 7 straight quality starts. He has a 1.60 ERA and 10 starts since returning from the IL. And we've talked before, like early on in this stretch, how good his XFIP was. He continues to deliver on it. And it's really going to be an interesting question how high we draft Logan Webb next year. He might be, if he keeps this up for another month, I mean, he might be like a top 30 guy next year. I think it's in the realm of possibility. Sandy Alcantara, his 29 swinging strikes, obviously that's an outlier, but 4 straight with 15 plus. So he's really picked up the whiffs lately. Got that ERA back around 3.20, I believe. Looking really good, really strong here, Sandy Alcantara right now.
Sunday studs, Jose Berrios at the Tigers. Needed a bounce.
Did you mention Framber Valdez's walks?
I did not.
Combined 3 in his last 3 starts.
Yes.
Remember after he had that stretch of 8 with 6.1 BB per 9?
Yeah.
No. So it comes and goes, the control issues, but it looks like he's back on track for now.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a really good point. I had that note there, but I didn't mention it, so I'm happy you did. Sunday studs, Jose Berrios needed a bounce back, and he got it. 7 innings, 1 run, 0 earned, 11 strikeouts to 0 walks. And then Dylan Cease up against the Cubs, 6 innings, 1 run, 11 strikeouts. He had 17 swinging strikes. The velocity on his fastball was up in the start as well. Obviously, you're starting him this week at the Kansas City Royals. Anything you'd like to add on Berrios or Cease?
Nope. Nice to see Berrios bounce back, but we weren't really concerned about him anyway.
Call to the pen, a few more bullpen updates. Both Tyler Clippard and Ian Kennedy blew saves in the same game Friday, and then Ian Kennedy picked up a save. It was either Saturday or Sunday, but I know he bounced back. For the Twins, Alex Colome picked up 2 saves this weekend, one on Friday, one on Saturday. He's 43% rostered. I don't think he's very good, but he's the closer. So if you need saves, Colome is out there. For the Tampa Bay Rays on Saturday, Andrew Kittredge, 2 innings, picked up his 4th save. He has 2 of the last 3 saves for the Rays. I did see that Pete Fairbanks was recently activated, and I guess Nick Anderson is still on the mend, so there are a few more names coming to that Tampa Bay Rays bullpen. And for the Mariners on Sunday, Paul Sewald was used in the 8th inning. He gave up a run, and then Drew Steckenrider came out for the 9th, picked up his 7th save of the season. To stream or not to stream, we'll start with Monday. Bailey Ober at the Tigers, Luis Patino versus the Red Sox, Chris Paddock at the Diamondbacks, Johnny Cueto versus the Brewers, Drew Smyly at the Dodgers, and Tyler Gilbert versus the Padres.
Don't love any of them. My favorite 3 would probably be Bailey Ober at the Tigers, Johnny Cueto against the Brewers, and Luis Patino against the Red Sox.
Yep. I don't mind Bailey Ober. He's looked pretty good recently, and that's a pretty good matchup. For Tuesday, we have Bryce Wilson at the White Sox, Mike Minor versus Cleveland, Austin Gomber at the Rangers, Trevor Williams, who is now on the Mets. He's going up against the Marlins. Patrick Corbin versus the Phillies, and Miles Michaelis at the Reds.
I can't recommend Austin Gomber at the Rangers as emphatically as I'd like, but between Monday and Tuesday, he's probably the best play.
Yeah.
Among these that you listed here. My second favorite on Tuesday would probably be Mike Minor against the Indians.
Yeah, and that tells you everything you need to know, because we don't feel very good about Austin Gomber right now. So Monday and Tuesday streamers, not great. Not great, Bob or Scott. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!